Good morning.
Good morning.
You have your Bibles with you, or your electronic gadgets. We want to turn to the fifth chapter of Judges. We will finish reading the Song of Deborah, which is our text for this morning. We will take up where Jamie left off at verse 24. Judges 5, 24, we'll read to the end of the chapter. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is he among women in tents. He asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg, her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera, she pierced his head, she split and struck through his temple. At her feet he sank, he fell, he lay still. At her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. The mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the clatter of his chariots?" Her wisest ladies answered her. Yes, she answered herself. Are they not finding and dividing the spoil? To every man a girl or two. For Sisera, plunder of dyed garments. Plunder of garments embroidered and dyed, 2 pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. So the land had rest for 40 years. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the way that you speak to us through it. We pray as we consider the song that you gave Deborah, that you would move our hearts and our minds toward you, that we would honor and glorify you with our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Judges is in many ways a book that's got some tough things to say to us. In some ways, it's a call to vigilance on our part, to repentance. Here in Judges 5, however, we have a victory celebration. Israel has been oppressed by her enemies, by the very Canaanites that they were supposed to have overcome when they moved into the land of promise. When they cried out to the Lord, he once again saved them. He gave them his word through Deborah, the prophetess. He created faith in the hearts of men and women, in the hearts of Barak, in the heart of Jael, in the hearts of his people that we see represented in chapter 4 by the 10,000 men who showed up for battle. And this new deliverance led to a new song, a song of praise to the Lord for his salvation. We don't find a song like this after any other of the judges in the book. I think that indicates to us a high point, if you will, in the book of Judges, because God's people sang God's praises. And it calls for us to join in the song. The Lord saved us so that we could praise him. The Lord saved us so that we would praise him. So that we would find our delight in his character, in his power, in his glory. Our joy of the Lord that Scripture talks about isn't complete until we express it in praise. We find that when we come to the Lord, that our joy in God leads to our strength in God. Praise is never a waste of time. Rather, praise is at the heart of our battle in this world. Praise undergirds. Praise strengthens us. It gives us stamina. It increases our persistence and our perseverance as we fight against sin, against Satan, against his whole dominion in the world. We remain steadfast in the Lord by setting our hearts on him and by glorying in his salvation. And we're called to do that in praise. So, as we look at chapter 5, I'm going to focus our attention on three things that we can praise the Lord about. There is much here that we don't have time to cover, which is just another assignment for you to go home and look at. But as we come to chapter 5, I want us to see that Deborah leads God's people to rejoice in the Lord in his salvation by celebrating three things about the Lord. The first is the Lord's presence. The second is the Lord's power. And the third is the Lord's promise. So let's begin by looking at celebrating the Lord's presence. Celebrating the Lord's return, if you will, to his people. We read in verse 2, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Israel had been cowering in fear before the Canaanites, those guys with their iron chariots. But the Lord came and revealed himself to them once again, and he changed their hearts. He gave them faith. He made them willing to fight. And in the end, God gave them victory. Deborah's song not only calls his people to attention, but it also speaks to the world around. Deborah's song calls the Canaanite kings and the kings of the world to pay attention. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord, and I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. The Lord conquered Jabin and Sisera. The Lord conquered this appearance of Satan among his people. Deborah's song calls all of us to join in the singing. It's a call to the world as well to tremble before our God, to recognize his presence in the battle, to recognize his presence in the midst of his people. The Canaanites worshipped Baal. Baal was the god of storm. But Deborah reveals in her song that she knew that the God who controls the storm is indeed the God, the Lord of Israel. Verse 4 says, Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens poured, the clouds also poured water, the mountains gushed before the Lord. This Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. Why is Sinai there? Should bring back some thoughts for us. Back at Mount Sinai, the Lord confirmed his covenant with Israel. Remember when they came to the mountain? He revealed his name to them. He gave them his law. He revealed himself. He came to them in thunder and lightning and fire, and the mountain shook, and they were terrified. But the Lord didn't stay at Sinai. He made a covenant with his people. He kept his covenant. He keeps his covenant to be with his people. God at times reveals his presence so fiercely that it seems that all of creation is about to come unglued. Israel had been weak and helpless before the Lord revealed himself to them again. The Lord showed himself. Was he not there? Yes, but it was a confirmation to the people. At that point, the people couldn't even travel safely. They had to take the back roads, as it were, to avoid perhaps high tolls or to escape Canaanite robbers. The farmers didn't go in the fields. The village life came to a halt. Verse 8 says that they didn't have weapons, or at least they didn't dare show their weapons. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. Why was that? Well, the people had chosen to serve new gods, Canaanite gods. So the Lord let them live under the Canaanite power to get their attention. But then He revealed Himself again. The Lord used Deborah to bring His word. And Deborah sang, "I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel." She was the prophetess who spoke God's word. And like a mother, she taught Israel to believe the word, to trust the word, to live by the word. And she raised up a seed who would crush the serpent and his armies under their feet. Through Deborah's word, through her motherly care, the Lord revealed Himself again to His people. He created faith so that Barak believed the promise. Yes, he stumbled, but he did go into battle. God created faith so that Israel followed Barak into battle. He drew them to them and the Lord drew near to them with all the earth-shaking, heaven-splitting power of His presence, just like at Sinai. And He gave Israel the heart to volunteer and the strength to stand. The Lord's presence is also our salvation today. We look at ourselves, and if we're honest, what do we see? Well, it's not so pretty at times. And there's a lot of weakness. Everywhere we look, we see the presence of God's enemies. We see the presence of unbelief in the culture that we live in. If we are honest with ourselves, we see the presence of sin and Satan active in our own lives. But God's presence conquers all of that. God's presence conquers our sins. And Deborah's song says to us that that's worth singing about. Because God changes our hearts so that we can start to delight in doing His will. We train our children. We want them to grow up in the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. What's one of the questions that many of us have asked our children at an early age? Where is God? And what is the response that we're looking for? What is it that we want to teach them? God is in heaven. Yes and no. God is in heaven indeed. But the response that we want to get from our children and the truth that we want our children to learn and to begin to grasp at a very young age is three words. Really simple. Really hard to grasp. God is everywhere. It's a truth that we continually need to remind ourselves of, no matter what our level of maturity or age might be. God is not and never has been an absentee ruler. From before the beginning of time as we know it, God has always been present. He's always been present to govern in history. He's always been present to build nations, to raise them up, and to bring them down. He's always been present to raise up rulers, to raise up leaders, even to control elections, even when we're disappointed. God has always been present, even to use our failings, our falls into sin, to His glory and to our salvation, because He is present. We need to remind ourselves of God's presence because we are often short-sighted. We've got short memories. We seem to easily forget that God is watching over His creation all the time. But the Lord is gracious. And throughout history, He has reminded us in very visible ways about His presence. And Judges is one of those places that reminds us over and over again. That's one of the lessons that we need to learn from this book. The people were very much capable of forgetting about God. And if we get so busy in our lives, we can be too. In fact, people can even get to the point of fooling themselves that God isn't really there. But that doesn't change the very basic truth. God is there. God is here. He is always present in the world that He has created. And Deborah's song reminds us, the Lord was present with His people for this incident. He conquered Jabin and Sisera and all their armies and all those iron chariots. God revealed His presence then, and He reveals His presence now, and He revealed His presence years later when He sent His Son, the greater Barak, our deliverer, our Savior, our judge, Jesus Christ. And Jesus went on with the promise of the presence of the Lord with His people. He said that He would abide with those who would abide with Him. And He sent His Spirit to help us to live by the presence of the Lord. So one of the things we need to celebrate that we learn from the Song of Deborah is to celebrate God's presence in our midst. The second thing that we need to learn to celebrate is the Lord's power. Deborah calls all Israel to join in the celebration. She calls rich and poor, ones who ride on white donkeys and ones who walk, to think about what the Lord had done for them. At every watering hole, over every cup of coffee, if you will, they were and we are to sing about the righteous acts of the Lord. We read in verse 19, the kings came, they fought, the kings of Canaan fought at Taanach by the waters of Megiddo, and they took no spoils of silver. Those kings had a plan. But they didn't get any of the plunder that they planned to get because the Lord attacked. Because the Lord was there in power and might. And when God attacks, all of creation can become His army. Verse 20, the stars from their courses fought against Sisera. We're not entirely sure what that means, but perhaps some kind of comet action took place. It certainly means that the Lord rules the host of the heavens. The Canaanites thought that the stars controlled the weather, but the Lord is the one who controls the stars, and He governs the weather. And in this case, for the salvation of His people. The Lord sent rain, and He flooded the Kishon River so that even the river became Sisera's enemy. The iron chariots got bogged down, and the river Kishon, it says, swept them away. It's described like another flood. And floods should bring memories to us from the scriptures. Like Noah, cleansing the world. Like the Red Sea all over again. The Lord in His might sent out floodwaters to wash the land clean of those who would oppose Him. The God of Israel, we are taught, is a warrior God. He won the victory. The battle doesn't depend on the strength of God's people. The Lord is all-powerful, and He can turn all of creation into His army to defeat His enemies when He so chooses. With but a word. It is the Lord in His own power and might that wins the glory for Himself. That's something that we ought to celebrate. But here's the thing. The Lord desires also to display His power by using His people. Deborah called Israel to sing about the righteous acts of the Lord. But she also was singing about the righteous acts of His warriors in Israel. Now, if we think about it, you know, we think 10,000 people, man, that was a lot of guys. But in terms of the army of a country, in human standards, they weren't a very powerful army. In fact, even in the song, they were described as the survivors in verse 13. They were the men that were left. But here's the thing. They were the people of the Lord. And that made all the difference. The Lord led Deborah to prophesy, "Wake up! Wake up, Deborah," it says. "Wake up and sing a song." And then it says that the Lord raised up Barak to win the victory. And Barak was to get up and lead his captives away. The Lord made His people willing to fight. And He gave them strength to do so by His might. Deborah lists a roll call of sorts. There were people from Ephraim. There were people from Benjamin and Machir. Machir, by the way, is part of Manasseh. There were men of Issachar who believed God's word and followed Barak into battle. It says that the men of Zebulun and Naphtali risked their lives to fight for the Lord. These men were willing to put the Lord first. They cared more about the Lord's battle than they did about their own safety. The Lord moved in the hearts of His people. And when the Lord moves in the hearts of His people, when the Spirit of Christ takes hold of His people so that they are willing to sacrifice themselves and follow in His footsteps, then God moves in powerful ways. And that's reason for praise. That's reason for celebration. It's reason for giving thanks, and it's reason for finding confidence in our God. But Deborah's roll call tells us a different side of the story as well. Not everyone in Israel was so eager. There was a list on that side as well. The men of Reuben thought about coming. They mulled it over. They maybe searched their hearts. They talked about it. But in the end, it says that they stayed with their sheep. Gilead stayed on the other side of the Jordan. Maybe they were thinking to themselves, well, the Canaanites weren't really their problem, were they? It's across the river anyhow. forgetting about the promise that they made that if their brothers needed help, they would cross over and fight with them. Dan and Asher, it appears, were too busy with their maritime trade. They too were too busy to help with their brothers in need. Deborah praises the volunteers, but she rebukes the ones who were too comfortable or too busy to join in the battle. That should remind us of some kind of story in the New Testament. I cannot come. Bought some land, bought a cow, got another commitment. Sorry, you can't be there. The town of Meroz was near the battlefield, and it's mentioned specifically because they didn't want to get involved either. And the Lord pronounced His curse on covenant people. Those in the covenant put first their safety ahead of His honor and glory. Verse 23, we read, "Curse Meroz," said the angel of the Lord, "curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty." It's not that the Lord is weak and He needs our help, but He does want us to honor Him, to glorify Him with our lives. God is the one who fights for His people. We are clearly taught that over and over again. God is the one who wins the victory by His sheer power, by His mere word. In our lives, Jesus has already triumphed over sin and Satan on the cross. The victory belongs to Him. But He calls us to put Him first, to join in the battle, to fight on His side with His strength. God calls us to get involved in the battle. So in terms of covenant people, there is celebration, there is praise for when God's people do that. But there is rebuke for covenant people when they don't step up and take their place. Because God calls us to fight for the salvation of others as well as ourselves. To fight with our prayers. To fight with our godly works of compassion. To open our arms. To be encouraging to others. And sometimes rebuking one another. God enlists us to follow Christ into battle and to put to death every last one of our sins. Part of that battle is to rejoice in the Lord's salvation, to celebrate God's power and victory in the lives of His people, both in the past as well as the present. Part of the rejoicing is singing His praise as we acknowledge His power at work in our lives as we do His bidding. So we're called to celebrate God's presence and God's power. Thirdly, I want to point out that we're also to celebrate God's promise, the Lord's blessing on His faithful people. Meroz is specifically mentioned as not getting involved, and so they were cursed. Jael, on the other hand, who we learned last time was going to be honored, is honored because she did get involved. She put the Lord ahead of her safety. She put the Lord ahead of her husband's peace treaty with Jabin / Satan. And the Lord gave her His blessing. Can you imagine a greater blessing. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. That's awesome. Jael was used by the Lord. Sisera came running her way, and what did she do? She calmed his fears. Sure, come on in here. He asked for water, and she went further and gave him milk and put him at ease, and lulled him to sleep. And then she reached out and took up that tent peg and hammer. Deborah's song echoes God's approval and Israel's delight. The song is savoring salvation, as it were, item by item, detail by detail, blow by blow. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. At her feet he sank. He fell. There he lay. At her feet he sank. There he fell. Dead. Does that sound harsh to your ears? I'll tell you what. This was not written to be vicious. Rather, this was written to celebrate godliness. That's the battle that's going on here. True godliness means glorifying in the God who says that he will and does smash the skulls of his enemies. This goes back to the beginning, and this takes us to the end. It is the promise that God made in the garden. The promise of crushing the head of the serpent. Deborah, the mother of Israel. And Jael, another mother in Israel. Fighting against the seed of the serpent. So that the head of the serpent is crushed in time. Deborah goes on to talk or to sing about another mother, if you will. The mother on the other side. She pictures Sisera's mother. And she's looking out a window wondering, what's taking Sisera so long to get home? Oh, then she remembers, oh, it's time to take and divide the spoil. It's going to be a while. They were going to bring home some nice clothes for her. Wasn't that going to happen? They weren't going to the market. It was clothes that was going to be stolen from God's people. They were going to get a girl or two each. This text is as crude as you can imagine. I'm not going to put it that way. But Sisera's mother saw God's women in this light. They were nothing more than sex slaves for her son. That's what's going on here. We shouldn't feel sorry for a mother who's pining for her son. She saw Israel's women, God's women, as baby factories to raise up more Canaanites in order to do what? To oppress God's people, not glorify God. But Sisera was lying dead in Jael's tent with a peg through his head. While God's people were rejoicing as they listened to Deborah's song. They were celebrating the Lord's salvation. As long as God's enemies are alive, we are called to confront them with God's word. We are called to call them to repent and believe the gospel, even as we call ourselves to do the same. It's not wrong to pray for the downfall of God's enemies. We don't need to be rude about it. We don't need to be crude about it. But we need to understand that there's a battle going on, and you're on one side or another. We need to pray that more people are on God's side, and that those who refuse to be there will be brought down. We need to pray that the Lord will save His people from those who would persecute them, from those who dishonor His name. When the Lord defeats His enemies, when Christ overcomes them by His Spirit, when Canaan falls, God calls His people to join in a chorus of praise. Praise the Lord! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are His judgments. We are called to join this morning in the song of praise and in the prayer for salvation. Verse 31 tells us, "Let all your enemies perish, O Lord." The defeat of Sisera is a foretaste, if you will, a scaled back model of what Jesus did to Satan on the cross. It's also a preview of Christ's final victory when every enemy will fall. Those who are in Satan's army are going to share in Satan's reward, in Satan's defeat. They are going to be crushed under Jesus' feet. That's the promise of our God. That's the promise of the gospel. The promise that gives us strength when the wickedness of the world seems so strong in the community that we live in. When it seems so strong in the culture that we live in. And at times when it seems so strong even in our own hearts. That's what we pray for together as we pray every week. Your kingdom come. We are praying that the devil's work is destroyed, that every force which revolts against Christ and every conspiracy against God's word will be subdued until God's kingdom is complete and perfect. May all your enemies perish, Lord, says the Song of Deborah. But then it goes on to say, but let those who love Him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. That's a call to faith. It's a call for Israel to use the 40 years that followed, those 40 years of peace, to destroy the idols in their lives. To turn back fully to the Lord their God in trust. And it's a call to us as well. To stop being unstable in our faith. It's a call to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. Deborah sang, but let those who love Him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. And it is a call of faith, but it's also a promise. God's people are going to rise in history. History is not done yet. They're going to grow in power and in glory as God's enemies fall. We need to understand that the Lord is in the process of keeping His promises. Jamie read from Revelation. When John sees Jesus in Revelation 1, he says, his face was like the shining sun in its brilliance or in its full strength. Jesus was the one who loved the Lord fully. And God rewarded him with glory and honor. God the Father exalted God the Son, Jesus Christ, to power. And God made Jesus' face shine like the sun in all its brilliance and strength. And God, by His power in our lives, has raised us up. And He has united us to Jesus so that we share in Christ's resurrection power. In one sense, we are seated with Him already in His heavenly throne. One day, we are going to share in His glory forever. That's the promise of the gospel. So we need to rejoice in the Lord's salvation. We should celebrate in what God did through J.L., through Deborah, through Barak, the judge at that time, and through the greater Barak, our judge at a later time, Jesus our Savior. Let's celebrate His salvation and turn it into a song of praise in our lives. Jesus said that His Spirit would be upon His people, signifying God's presence in our lives. Jesus administers all of God's earth-shaking power for our salvation, giving us the faith to fight, and in His power, He leads us to victory. Jesus promises us His blessing, His glory, and His strength. If we love Him and follow Him and put Him first in our lives, we get to live with Jesus forever. Amen.